If the outlying flounces weren't supported on wheels, then Kaylee was stronger than he'd given her credit for. "What do you think?" she said, turning slowly. "This was worn by my mother, and my grandmother, and her mother."
"What, all together?" said Cutwell, quite prepared to believe it.
"How can she get into it?" he wondered. "There must be a door round the back."
"It's a family heirloom. It's got real diamonds on the bodice."
"Which bit's the bodice?"
"This bit."
Cutwell shuddered. "It's very impressive," he said, when he could trust himself to speak. "You don't think it's perhaps a bit mature, though?"
"It's queenly."
"Yes, but perhaps it won't allow you to move very fast."
"I have no intention of running. There must be dignity." Once again, the set of her jaw traced the line of her descent all the way to her conquering ancestor, who preferred to move very fast at all times, and knew as much about dignity as could be carried on the point of a sharp spear. Cutwell spread his hands.
"All right," he said. "Fine. We all do what we can. I just hope Mort has come up with some ideas."
"It's hard to have confidence in a ghost," said Kaylee. "He walks through walls."
"I've been thinking about that," said Cutwell. "It's a puzzle, isn't it? He walks through things only if he doesn't know he's doing it. I think it's an industrial disease."
"What?"
"I was nearly sure last night. He's becoming real."
"But we're all real. At least you are, and I suppose I am.
But he's becoming more real, extremely real, nearly as real as death. And you don't get much realer. Not much realer at all."
"Are you sure?" said Albert suspiciously.
"Of course," said Isabel. "Work it out yourself if you like."
Albert looked back at the big book, his face a portrait of uncertainty.
"Well, they could be about right,"
he conceded with bad grace, and copied out the two names on a scrap of paper.
"There's one way to find out, anyway."
He pulled open the top drawer of Death's desk and extracted a big iron key ring. There was only one key on it.
"What happens now?" said Mort.
"We've got to fetch the lifetimers," said Albert. "You have to come with me."
"Mort!"
hissed Isabel.
"What?"
"What you just said."
She lapsed into silence and then added,
"Oh, nothing. It just sounded odd."
"I only asked what happens now," said Mort.
"Yes, but you... Oh, never mind."
Albert brushed past them and sidled out into the hallway like a two-legged spider until he reached the door that was always kept locked. The key fitted perfectly. The door swung open. There wasn't so much as a squeak from its hinges, just a swish of deeper silence. And the roar of sand. Mort and Isabel stood in the doorway transfixed as Albert stamped off between the aisles of glass. The sound didn't just enter the body via the ears, it came up through the legs and down through the skull and filled up the brain until all that it could think of was the rushing, hissing grey noise, the sound of millions of lives being lived and rushing towards their inevitable destination. They stared up and out at the endless ranks of lifetimers. Everyone different, everyone named. The light from torches ranged along the walls, picked highlights off them so that a star gleamed on every glass. The far walls of the room were lost in a galaxy of light. Mort felt Isabel's fingers tighten on his arm. When she spoke, her voice was strained.
"Mort, some of them are so small."
"I know."
Her grip relaxed very gently, like someone putting the top ace on a house of cards and taking their hand away gingerly so as not to bring the whole edifice down.
"Say that again,"
she said quietly.
"I said I know. There's nothing I can do about it. Haven't you been in here before?"
"No." She had withdrawn slightly and was staring at his eyes.
"It's no worse than the library," said Mort, and almost believed it. "But in the library you only read about it. In here you could see it happening."
"Why are you looking at me like that?" he added.
"I was just trying to remember what colour your eyes were," she said, "because..."
"If you two have had quite enough of each other,"
bellowed Albert above the roar of sand,
"this way."
"Brown," said Mort to Isabel. "They're brown. Why?"
"Hurry up."
"You'd better go and help him," said Isabel. "He seems to be getting quite upset."
Mort left her, his mind a sudden swamp of uneasiness, and stalked across the tiled floor to where Albert stood impatiently tapping a foot.
"What do I have to do?" he said.
"Just follow me."
The room opened.